All right, welcome to this episode of Comes Naturally. So before we get into the intro, we are going to do some business. Michael?
Yeah, business this week. Again, this is a 100% free podcast available to you on many different platforms. And so please show support if you haven't already. Go to our Facebook page, like us on Facebook, share us on Facebook. Tell all your friends about us. If you're getting us from iTunes, which the majority of you are, I'm guessing, please hit subscribe, rate, and review us. The subscribe will make sure your podcast will come automatically for you every Friday when it's ready. You don't have to do any work for you, just free and quick and right in your pocket. Rate and review us on iTunes, help us get some traction going on that, and kind of just help us spread the word to strangers trying to find this and let them know what it's all about. And that's business, Cody.
All right.
Yeah.
One day we should just record that.
One day we will.
False.
And then false. Copy and paste.
Nope.
So we don't have to do that all the time.
No, because eventually what we're going to do is we're going to do intros.
Yeah.
So we record an episode, and then I go back, I add music,
yeah.
And then we record an intro, either with all of us, one of us, whatever it is, and then talk about what it is. Because when we actually get on a schedule of making these, we can be like, oh, this episode features blah, 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 and then, like, you know, goes into it.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can talk about news. That way the news will be more up to date for when the episode actually comes out.
See? Stupid.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Anyways,
intro us,
so Comes Naturally, we are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Our special guest today is
Eric.
And big ups to Eric for not shitting his pants right before we started recording.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, seriously. Thanks for not stinking out the joint, buddy.
I apologize. Again.
You should. And you should also talk directly into your microphone.
And you should also
so people can hear you.
Sorry.
There you go.
Your ass. I apologize. Anyway.
Wow.
So
polite. So on this episode, we are going to talk about the recent Phoenix Comic Con that three of us attended. The three of us are Joe, Mike, and Cody, not Eric.
Eric wasn't there.
Wussy. So we'll go over what we saw, the things we saw, panels we saw, we listened to or sat through or whatever.
The
you want to call
smelly
it.
Cosplayers.
Or just cosplayers.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll go over the stuff that we, well, I guess Mike
Manny
and I
Pacquiao was with. There.
We'll get to that in a second.
And the big boss man.
Yeah. So first off, we'll go
with Munger. What was your thoughts on Comic-Con, sir?
What was your favorite time part?
I've got nothing.
Gotcha.
All right.
So we'll start with Mike. What were your impressions of this year's Comic-Con? This is the second ever Comic-Con.
Yes, second ever.
Your second Phoenix Comic-Con.
Yeah, only been to the Phoenix one. I skipped last year. So my first one was 2 years ago. And this year, I was actually really impressed with just in the year that I missed, how big that it's grown. Much more massive, a whole lot more people. I think the name recognition is a lot better now, too. We're starting to get better guests, better panels, stuff like that. The booths were great. A lot of cool stuff on the floor. But my biggest takeaway was the panels. Those are always my favorite things. It's kind of like essentially being there for a podcast.
It's a question and answer.
Yeah, it's a Q&A with different actors, authors, whoever's there. But the panel list this year was pretty fantastic. Even people I didn't know really who they were. They were great, funny for the most part, and we camped out most of the time. We were in room 120 for their big panel area, which they kept bumping the number as to how many people was there. So I really want to know like how many people sat when all 5, the seats 000. Were full. 5,000. All right.
That really doesn't look like it would seat 5,000.
No way, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, thanks, pal.
Well, even when they said I don't remember what panel it was, but it was pretty full, and they're like, there are 3,000 people in here, and you look around, and it's like...
Maybe 14...
I was like, there's maybe...
Or 30.
Yeah, somewhere between 30 and maybe 1,000 people, it looked like. But, I mean, there could have been more. I don't know.
It's a pretty broad... in between 30 and 1,000, you know, somewhere around there.
Between zero and...
an infinite.
Yeah.
But no, it was a lot of fun. Got to watch a lot of cool panels, picked up some cool art, picked up some cool comics, spent a lot of money, hung out. It was fun. Joe, impressions, sir?
This is my umpteenth Comic-Con. Right? It's like my fifth Phoenix Comic-Con and my, would have been like eighth, because I've been seventh Comic-Con, because I've been to San Diego Comic-Con twice, which is a lot bigger than this one, but still.
You've been to San Diego twice.
That's what I said. I've been to San Diego Comic-Con twice.
Oh, is it Phoenix?
No.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, good job there. It's really this past year it's a lot bigger. They actually filled the floor, because in previous years they had the registration was a part of the actual main floor, but now they moved it to a whole different side of the convention center. So they've actually been able to fill everything up, and actually I think the ballroom too, like Mike said, Hall 120, actually had more people featured in it this year than in previous years. I can't even remember who was even here last year. It was Babylon 5, and was the year before was Star Trek.
Yeah, year before was Star Trek Next Generation cast, and which was everybody but Picard.
Yeah,
and those were their biggest ones for those years. But this year you had,
it seemed like all of them kind of matched what Next Generation put out. Like, it seemed like all of them were pretty full, packed out.
Oh, for this year?
Gotcha.
Because this year you had, who was the cat? You had Bruce Campbell was there. You had
Manu Bennett. Deathstroke.
The guy, the actual Arrow.
Stephen Amell. Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
Was there.
Nathan Fillion was there, which I thinking about it, I know Bruce Campbell's panel was awesome. I loved
John Barrowman,
yeah,
it was hilarious,
and also Stargate, Richard Dean Anderson. But for some reason, Nathan Fillion's panel, I just keep going back to how just off the wall and funny that was with the watches.
Was just absolutely
weird.
To give you feedback, Nathan Fillion came out, sat down, and talked for a little bit, and after he took the first question. He said something to the effect, if you guys have seen me before, you know I usually like to grab some stuff, but I don't really have anything. And he looked down, he's all, I have a watch. And he took off his watch and gave it to the person in the crowd. So I was like, ah, funny, everyone laughed. And then the next person came up and he basically looked and he didn't have a watch. He's like, well, I can't give you my bracelet. He's all like, and the moderator's like, I have a watch. He's all, give it to me. And so he took the moderator's watch, gave it to the crowd, and then as the next question's going on, Cody bumped me. He's all, look, he's wearing a watch. And sure enough, he had a watch on again. We were like, well, you already gave it away. So, and it was funny, I don't think the rest of the crowd caught in until he finished answering the question. He's like, yeah, I wish I had something. And he's looking and he looks at his watch and like all surprised that he had another watch on. He's all, here, have a watch. And so threw a watch out to the guy in the crowd. And then as the next question was being answered, just super blatantly just reached down. He had an envelope full of watches, starts putting on another watch as he's talking. And so he did that with all the questions. He kept putting on another watch, giving it to the person that was asking the question. Till he ran out of watches, then he gave the envelope in which the watches were being held, and then after the envelope was gone, he gave his bottle of water to the guest, and then other bottles of water that were sitting on the table. So everyone that asked a question got some type of gift. It's pretty funny.
Were they just regular watches, or
I don't know.
Like a digital watch,
probably just something cheap, but. But still, fun that people awesome. Go
yeah.
home.
Oh, yeah.
With a story.
Wouldn't it be great if they're like, you know, Rolexes or
castle watches?
Oh, those ones? Yeah.
All they say is it has just, doesn't just even have castle. A picture. It's literally just the logo. It just says like castle on it. It's like has the time and a little square, you know? You're like,
no, what I want to see is they're shit. Like they're fake watches. He just, you know, drew in like a time on it or something.
He drew in hammer.
Those what time is it? Castle time.
Castle time? The worst party starter ever.
How dare you, sir?
Joe's the worst party
starter. Okay, fair enough.
Wow. Not castle time. Castle Town get pretty amped.
I do want to mention, I looked it up, and as of last year, the Phoenix Comic Con was 7th largest in North America.
This year was 4th.
So, and I had heard this, we had heard this year was 4th. I haven't, you know, obviously seen numbers on it or anything.
The year's not over, so.
But yeah, so it's moving up in the world. Obviously, Phoenix, San Diego Comic Con, New York is next. Fan Expo.
It's Canada.
In Canada. Emerald City. Denver Comic Con.
Or no, Emerald City is Oregon, right?
Seattle, actually.
Or so Seattle. Yeah, Seattle, Oregon. Same thing.
Totally off.
Same fucking thing.
I thought WizardCon was up there, too.
No, WizardCon dropped, dude. Like, when Wizard, the magazine, went away. Yeah.
I figured.
And then just before Phoenix Comic Con is the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo. So that was for, as of 2013, 2012. Those were the numbers and the ranks.
Where do you think it spreads out to next? Like, because it's obviously going to keep growing, but, like, what?
Well, eventually going to cannibalize themselves. The bigger shows are going to eat, they're going to pick up. So you're always going to have.
Because like, there's the Mesa one, which always pulls like.
No, not anymore. It's not Mesa anymore. Whatever. It's in the same place the Phoenix one is, Amazing Comic Con. We were looking it up.
Yeah.
But you know they're eventually is going to.
Well, they're going to have that they would merge so that you don't have all
they're
of these.
They're a few
like,
months
little...
apart. So, I mean, it's. The advantage that Amazing Comic Con, or Amazing Arizona Comic Con has, which we found out is actually, there's two. There's Amazing Arizona and there's Amazing Las Vegas Comic-Con. They're almost the same people. The benefit that one has is it's in, usually in the beginning of the year, like fiscal year or calendar year, so it's cooler here in Arizona.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer.
It's not 1,000 degrees.
Because it was rocking 108s the whole time we were there, which...
So when you goes outside...
I don't know if you've ever been outside before, but 108 degrees is not that fun
to walk
around.
But it's a dry heat.
No.
Yeah.
Dry my balls, which they weren't.
No. No.
Get it.
Cody, your thoughts, sir?
I didn't have any fun. How to deal with these two fucking
grumpy
idiots.
Asshole.
Yeah, seriously.
No, I had a lot of fun. The panels are fun. The seats are awful, just like every panel you ever sit through. Especially when you're in there for fucking 5 or 6 hours straight.
Straight, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's good times. I have the list of the panels in front of me. So we sat through Manu Bennett, who is Deathstroke on Arrow, Crixus on Spartacus, amongst other things.
He was
some guy from the Marine, right? It was
in
the Marine.
Yeah, he did some WWE films.
We then sat through John Rhys Davies, who told us now that we're over 30, we can smoke weed.
Yeah, and so that we gotta care for kids up until the point where they're like 25.
Yep, when
their brains stop
growing into the skull, so that's cool.
But the cool thing about him, well, go back, we'll say that like the best part about Manu Bennett's was he brought like was like 30-40 people on stage with
The nerd behind us at the stoplight.
It was 100. It was like 100, maybe like 150.
Learn to fucking count.
It was like
30-40
people tops. Brought them up on stage and did the
Maui Warrior chant.
Yeah.
Him doing that was fucking intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He wasn't like holding back. He did it full force.
Yep.
No microphone in his hand, back of the room could still hear him perfectly, screaming his fucking head off. And then when everyone's stomping at the same time, we're just waiting for
that
the
fucking
stage to collapse.
To do a fucking soccer hooligan.
I had my phone out. Like I had my hand on the record button. Like I'm going to get this shit. I'm going to be YouTube famous. And then, but nothing happened.
YouTube famous for the smothering of nerds.
Yeah. 150 people die on stage.
And I got all the film.
The number just keeps going up.
The 4,000 people died today at Phoenix Comic Con.
We survived, though. So, yeah, that was fun. Hearing the stories, he's really into it. I mean, his acting career is not very deep. It's only been going for a few years, but he's got some big roles, obviously. Deathstroke and Arrow, very large role. Crixus was a main character in Spartacus, which was a very popular show. He played the White Orc and the Hobbit movies. So he's doing motion capture and stuff for that, which is pretty – the stories of that were pretty cool. Talking about like first time doing motion capture and stuff like that. It was pretty fun. But like his enthusiasm for like the fan interaction was cool, and like the stories that he told was pretty fun. Like how he's like basically sitting on a green fabric wrapped pommel horse trying to act like it's a giant wolf and things like that, and like how he's making stuff up, and that was really fun to hear about, and how he's afraid to work with John Barrowman because he's gonna get pranked like Stephen Amell did, so that's fun. But yeah, he was really entertaining, very well spoken. Not that I expect him not to be, but like he articulates very well and describes like the environment.
Good storyteller.
Like, yeah, really good. Really brought you into it. Like it was pretty funny. He was a lot funnier than I expected him to be, like for story wise, but also just himself like being sarcastic and stuff was really fun. And the fact that he stole the part of the white orc from a schoolyard friend. Oh,
yeah,
is,
his old
funny.
Friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Then up next was John Rhys Davies, famous for, of course, well, if you asked one guy in the crowd, Sliders.
Yeah, someone yelled out because in between the panels, they
shitty fucking moderators.
Yeah, which they should have just had like a stand-up comedian or something come out and try to keep them.
That's not what they were.
I think they were trying to be, but they weren't funny.
There was no comedy.
But it was awful between the sets. But they're just basically trying to keep.
You can't just leave and walk and come back in.
Keep the crowd hot. So they come out and they're like, "Hey,
hottest in like playing Plants vs Zombies on our iPads."
Yeah, I got through so many levels in between panels this year. I unlocked everything.
I beat all the mini games.
Yes. So they come out and they're trying to keep the crowd going and they ask,
what's your favorite John Rhys Davies?
Yeah. And then somebody yells out, Sliders. I was like, what?
So what did Cody do?
Sliders
berates him in front of everybody.
Yeah, loud too. And so I was like, "Hey, you're being mean to this nerd." So I jumped in too, so he wasn't the only one
being mean to the nerd.
Yeah, I was like, "I want Cody to have backup here." But
really sounds mean.
So he yells out Sliders, and I was like, "Are you kidding me? That's gross." He's like, "It was a good show." No, it wasn't. You're gross. Stop it.
But the thing is, it sounds bad until you get into the actual John Rhys Davies.
So then John Rhys Davies comes out, tells stories. Someone asks about what was it like playing Maximilian, whatever fuck his name was, from Sliders, which is funny because everyone's like, it starts cheering. And what does John Rhys Davies do? Gives a fucking sarcastic answer about how he hated working on that show. It was
like
fantastic.
A 10-minute answer
first,
about everything that was
started,
wrong with the show.
He started
it
off
really
like...
It was a rant.
He started off like this, like, he answering the question, which I thought he was being serious, like, talking about how he enjoyed, like, because he even said, generally, he enjoyed working on the show, but it got outlandish and stupid and, like, started doing stupid things with it. So, like,
he
just
noted
got tired
that
of the bullshit.
Every episode was a ripoff of
something
else's story.
Yeah. It was really funny. So then, like, we look over and, like, just the fucking Sliders nerd just hanging his head down.
Yeah, he was, like, 4 inches shorter than he was before, sliding
not
down
so
his
fucking
chair,
happy. I'm pointing at him, not so fucking happy now, are you, Slider?
So we looked at him. We were trying to find him after, and, like, we made eye contact, and he wasn't having it, dude. He was very sad with himself.
So that was fun.
But I agree with Davey.
But Sliders sucks. Like, that's the point of this story. Like, don't watch Sliders.
The idea of Sliders was really good, and I think that's what drew Davies into it. And I'll admit that I used to watch the show, too, but, yeah, there's a point in that Davies says that the science itself just starts to break down.
Yeah, well, he said he was originally excited about it. The way the show was pitched to him is, you know.
And they actually had someone who was a scientist working on the show with them. Yeah. And they started, like, they were running out of ideas, so they just started making shit up. And, like, it wasn't confounded. Not that you need sci-fi to be confounded, but, like, as long as it's based in some kind of reality, it's fine. They're like, he's just like, just got tired of it, and eventually he's left the show, and then of course right after that it got canceled. So
yeah,
but it was pretty funny. His Indiana Jones stories were limited because no one really asked about Indiana Jones too much.
No, not really.
One guy called him by the wrong name. That was really funny.
Yeah, that was
and then
funny.
Like the first thing out of his mouth is like, "Yeah, that's it." That was good. It's like, oh god, you in front of 3,000 or 4,000 or 12,000 people, whatever it happens to be.
48,000 people.
47,812 people.
Sold out University of Phoenix Stadium.
Yep.
0.6 people.
Yeah, so he basically people. Just kind of like sarcastically like said the name, and it was really funny. But
yeah. He had some his Lord of the Rings stories was the best.
Oh,
but
yeah.
What was great about that is he would bounce in and out of character.
Yeah, when you go in there at Gimli. Oh,
yeah. That was fantastic. And he capped it. Remember, he capped it off and basically talking to a little girl that asked a question. And he capped off.
He went into character.
As character and was telling, like, giving the little girl, like, life advice and stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Her question was, who won the bet between Gimli and Legolas? And he's like, and he goes right into the character of Gimli. And he's like, "It lives out cheetahs." It was so funny. Oh,
it was good stuff. He was weird though, dude. Like
he's a weird guy.
Like the first like 20 minutes of it,
the fucking weird rant he had about like kids growing up and their brains don't fit in their skulls. So basically, boils down to when you're young, don't do drugs, don't drink until your body's developed, and then just go to fucking party.
Should have asked him about firewalkers.
Oh shit! I wasn't gonna stand in line for a Firewalkers con.
Because you, John Rhys Davies, you don't want to bring up stuff he doesn't like because he let you have it. That would have like been sliders.
Field.
Yeah. He's all what?
One nerd in the audience would be like, "I love that movie."
I didn't do that movie. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. So that was fun, and then we sat through Richard Dean Anderson.
Who's high?
Who was
Most definitely high.
He was high on like back medication because he had back surgery.
Yeah.
So he's like super
or
doped
weed.
Up.
But I'm pretty sure.
What I love about that one is that the very first question
is
what pisses Mike off?
Excuse me, sir. In episode 7 of season 3, you were locked in a shed with only a potato and a paper clip. How did you escape?
Okay, so that's what we were saying before the first question happened. And then comes time for the first question to happen, and it was almost word for word that even sounded kind of like that. So, yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. Dean Anderson? Can I call you Dean Anderson? Anyways, so in episode 8 of season 2, you were trapped in a diabolical machine.
I was like, oh, this fucking guy.
I know you've seen it, and I was telling Joe, because when he was telling me that story, you've seen the Shatner clip on Saturday Night Live,
yeah,
where he's playing himself, yeah, and someone in the crowd does that, and he just snaps and goes off, and then all of a sudden realizes that he's yelling at a fan. Sorry, that was Evil Kirk from episode 27, because he doesn't know. Just hilarious. Yeah.
It was really funny, and like.
Honestly, what a lot of his questions were in like an episode six, when you were trapped inside the ice with Captain Carter. Was there like some sort of sexual tension between you two?
No, the iceberg was the MacGyver.
No, I know that's not the question, but he literally got shit tons of questions about him and another
character.
So
did you ever really want you and Sam Carter to get together?
Which I love.
Which was asked like 3 times, even though he addressed it before.
In a row. Yeah.
And his answer was always, well, yeah.
But yeah, he was hilarious and real funny because like one, like I said, he was super high, and two, he doesn't remember specific episodes, which I don't think anybody should at that point. It's
especially
like
especially after all the shows that he was on.
I mean, 20 years after MacGyver, right? Or 20 plus years after MacGyver, people are asking about season 2, episode 13. It's like no one's gonna know. And
they would
even
say the name of the episode too, which would be horrible.
Yeah, like, he even looked at people. He's like, I don't know which episode that was. But yeah, he had great stories too. He told dick jokes, fart jokes.
The fart jokes were the goddamn best, dude. He made a boner reference with the microphone.
Yeah, which was pretty hilarious
because he couldn't figure out how to get it in the mic stand.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was
that won't last long.
Entertaining.
Yeah. Then we left before the Mark Shepard one because none of us really cared about seeing Mark Shepard.
We didn't leave. We were forced out.
No, we could have stayed, but they were asking people to leave.
They said leave.
Whatever. It was
and
Mark
we,
Shepard.
We walked out, and I would have wanted to have left because there was a shit ton of people that were waiting in line.
Yeah, there's a fuck ton of line.
I don't even know how that guy pulled that kind of crowd, man.
Well, it's Supernatural.
It's Supernatural, dude. That show's fucking super popular.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Watch it.
Nope.
Okay. And then that brings us to Saturday.
Next
again,
day.
We sat through the entire day, pretty much, and in ballroom 120. Started off with Batman 66 with Adam West, Burt Ward, and drunk ass Julie Newmar.
Burt Ward
looks like he hasn't left the buffet since 66.
And then Adam,
it does actually.
He looks like he ate Robin, which is he's old, so
he's eaten all the Robins.
Yeah, Damien, all of them.
You have no. He
funny looks though. Like,
remember
how
Casey Kasem looked before he started losing all the weight? That's exactly how Burt Ward looks. Fatter.
Adam West looks sharp as a tack still.
Yeah.
Super quick witted.
Must have been stoned though because his left his sunglasses on.
Yeah, it looked
just all the little laughter he had.
Maybe he got drunk with Julie before.
Probably. Or walked by Julie and said, contact drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Julie Newmar is, I'm pretty sure, working on a 30-year buzz at that point. Like, I don't think she's come down off of that yet. But, she was super
Well, I mean, in all,
sexual,
in all honesty, yeah, but in all honesty, we joke, but in all honesty, after the panel was over, she pulled her brother up on stage, who was a psychologist. So I'm guessing that she's actually going through some sort of
Yeah, being completely fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, not saying it in a mean way, but you know, some sort of she's having social issue. Or, you know, yeah. So her, I mean, her coming out for something like this.
I think it's
might...
more linked to like she's the last of, and I mentioned this, like she's the last of those old school actresses that are still recognizable at this point. I'm sure there's some of them still alive, but nobody cares about them. You know, she's the one that's still, because of the con rotations and everything like that, like she's that really old school, like that classic diva in a sense of like Hollywood actress. I just think that's how she is at this point.
She called Burt Ward fat to his face.
Yeah.
She did. She told she basically wondered why they never go out, and or somebody wondered why they never go out anymore. And she made the
So the question was, someone asked, Do you guys still hang out? Like, you guys go get dinner or something like that? And Adam West said no, because they never pick up the check. And then Julie Newmar said, offhandedly, looking right at Burt Ward, said, no, because he eats our lunch and our dinner.
Yeah.
I was like, you. And then she's like, like faints off the side, like all fucking melodramatic. I'm like, you drunk whore. You just called him fat. Granted, you get it sucked out of your body by a team of doctors,
and plugged right back into her tits.
Yeah,
like, that's exactly where it goes.
Her Skeletor face and her fucking wig that sits 3 inches back from her forehead.
But
she looked rough, based on what I'm trying to say.
Best part of that, though, was towards the end, this dude literally started working
crying.
Streaming down his face.
You know the reason I became a Marine?
Yeah.
You have taught morals to a society. I was like, oh my God, this guy's a loser.
And then he said something about Adam West being, you know, the best Batman, which I'm like,
Julie
Newmar
being his, you know, cat
first crush.
I'm like, Julie Newmar's your first crush? How old are you?
He didn't seem that old, right?
Exactly.
No,
shit, dude wasn't even born in 66.
Weirdo. He was working.
But the worst though was the shadow proposing to his baby mama on stage. What
I call it, the non-shadow.
Then Julie Newmar or Adam West straight up said, "Oh, you guys already have a kid? Isn't this a little late?" I was like, "Oh, this poor guy." Somehow blew his way up there because he fucking had to suck a bunch of dick skin on stage to present to. Proposed to his baby mama.
I like how Adam West also goes, I could marry you guys up here, but
I'm not gonna.
what was next
good
on
times.
The...
Then it was John Barrowman, who was always a good time. John Barrowman, also from Arrow, plays Malcolm Merlyn. He was in Torchwood, obviously Doctor Who, if you're a Doctor Who fan, amongst other things.
Which was funny because, like, I know him simply from Arrow. Like, I don't watch Doctor Who.
My favorite part of this, Joe on my right, I have Mike on my left, and I hear him go, oh, he's another stuff in Arrow. And then I hear Joe goes, oh, he's in Arrow, huh? I was like, Jesus Christ. One guy only knows him from one thing, and the other guy only knows him from the other thing, not the same fucking
thing. I liked him as an actor, like going into the. I no idea like how
he was or what he was. Yeah.
So I'm strictly going off of his Arrow performances because that's the only. And he's a super good dickhead asshole villain, and like really evil, maniacal and shit. And then he comes out, and he is as gay and flamboyant as the day is long,
floating like a butterfly.
And he was hilarious the whole time.
Stinging only
just,
bees.
Yeah, He's super gay, but he's super awesome at the same time.
Yeah,
but it's
super
just
hilarious.
Like so blatantly,
you weren't expecting it.
Because every other actor, you're always like shades of who you see. You know, like you can connect them.
And to be honest, if you watch Doctor Who, he's more like that.
Okay,
that's his character's more like
that's
that.
What you would kind of connect.
Not as flamboyant.
Most actors though have a role you could relate him to. That's kind
of
like
They
what
put
you
some
expect.
Of themselves into.
But his role in Arrow is. Nothing at all. Not even the way he talks, his cadence, everything's different. His body language, everything's different. Dude's just super gay, super hilarious, full of energy, like no moderator for him. He just busts out onto the stage with the microphone and starts going 100% the whole time, dude. And I don't think he stood still.
Nope.
Once, he never sat down once.
Nope.
He sang show tunes. He
showed us his underwear again.
Again. From what I hear, that's a common occurrence with him.
It is.
Yep. But no, he was fantastic. He was one of the funniest, most energetic panels for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, the first time that I had seen him with Cody was last year, and I hope that he comes every single year, because I do honestly look forward to his panel. It's absolutely hilarious.
If you help him, he will come every year.
He's talking about using your hand on his dick.
Or other things.
Mouth.
Mouth, whatever. Yeah, it's super funny, hilarious, super nice guy. Like, he's just, like, really caring. Remembers a fucking shit ton of stuff. Like, he remembered, like, episode names and things like that. And, like, he gave him some really good, like, acting advice and stuff like that. Like, you know, how to approach roles and things like that and little things like that. It's super, super fun to just listen to tell stories. And, of course, he's a prankster, so... He likes to fuck with people.
Some good stories on that front too.
Yeah, like when he, every time he fuck with Stephen ML, like the one scene where they first meet that eventually got cut out of the show, so never got seen. But like he fucks with him, so he breaks the method acting of I can't remember his name now.
From Dresden Files.
Yeah, I guess from Dresden Files. Yeah.
Anyway,
Detective Lance.
Yeah, Detective Lance gets all pissed off and starts cussing at him because he broke character.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stories.
Yeah.
Blame
that on Stephen ML.
Munger?
You're dumb.
Watch Torchwood? You watch Doctor Who? Do you know who this guy is?
Good thing he's on this episode, huh?
Yeah.
Insights.
He shook his head no the whole time since no one can. This is not a visual medium.
You might not be able to hear the marbles bounce around in his head when he shook his head.
And no mic.
All right. There sounds like a spray can't pink in.
So then after John Barrowman. The Laugh Factory, that is. We got to sit down and watch the enjoyable and always fun Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Who is the most sarcastic and almost asshole to his fans. It's fantastic. He does it in a sarcastic way, so it's funny, but he really does pick on his fans quite a bit. What they did is he asked for anybody dressed up as Ash, because it's the most popular character he has, obviously, because Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, comes up and just... berates him, makes fun of him, talks about how their costumes aren't good because of this, and makes fun of one guy's earrings because he had plugs, he had gauges in. Picked on the one guy for having too much blood, one guy for not having enough blood, one guy for not spending any money at all, one guy for actually spending money. Like, it was super, super hilarious to do it. He gave him, the first place winner got $5.
Yeah.
Second place winner got like $2 or $3.
Yeah.
Like, this is money right out of his pocket. It was really funny. And then he kicked all of them off the stage. Then he's like, look at this table. It has empty chairs. Like, there's supposed to be people here. Making everyone think, I knew because I've seen Bruce Campbell before, making people think, oh, he's going to bring out people. Like, he's going to have, he has like guest appearances, right? Nope. Pulls people out of the crowd to ask them questions and berates them on stage. Fantastic.
That was great.
Yeah. So that was really fun. He's
and
super hilarious.
His answers, once he finally, he cleared about, I think it's really just a clever way so he doesn't have to keep answering the same questions over and over again.
I'd imagine so.
So Briscoe are we going to make Evil Dead 2?
We did not get a Briscoe County Jr.
No, we did.
No, we did.
Was there one
Briscoe, and he was like, that show's 20 years old. It's not coming back.
Oh, that's right.
Would you ever, do another season of Briscoe County? He's like...
And that's when he got into my favorite saying. He said, "Old TV." He says the old saying is, "Old TV shows age like fish." No Briscoe.
Touché.
Yeah, it was good. But like I said, I think all that clever, funny shit he does is just a way to keep himself entertained. But it works.
And not have to answer questions.
And not have to answer questions because he knocked out about 30 minutes, so he only had to answer questions for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But the best part, I think, was the interaction between him and the little kid. Someone clearly sends up like their son to ask a question because that's how most of the little kids
are. Are you talking about the one who hasn't seen Burn Notice?
Yeah. No, the little kid, the 7-8-year-old that asked the question.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the question was, but basically Bruce Campbell starts interrogating him about where's he going to start working? When's he going to start pulling his weight? When's he going to start paying rent?
Yeah, how much does he pay for rent? Yeah. How much does he pay for food? Yeah,
it was good stuff.
I talked about the guy, the not that you could tell, full-grown man that looked like he still shopped in the kids' department, was asking about, like, he's like, I loved you in Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. And listen, and he goes, and I liked you in Burn Notice, even though I've never seen it. And he goes, whoa, what? You love me in Burn Notice, but you've never seen the show.
So how can you love me if you've never seen the show?
Yep.
And because the question was, what was your favorite?
Yeah.
And he's like, my favorite was Burn Notice, but you wouldn't know that because you didn't watch the show. And he starts yelling at him. It was
then,
great.
Then the next question asked, and the next guy is like, so in Burn Notice, oh, you've seen Burn Notice? He's seen Burn Notice. You haven't seen Burn Notice.
Kept coming back. It was pretty good.
Did a couple throwbacks to it. That was pretty funny. So that was fun. Then after that was Stephen Amell of Arrow, plays Oliver Queen. He was super funny, told a bunch of fun stories.
And the coolest part, I think, about that one is he's the only one that really doesn't have a huge, like, diverse career right now. He's basically just done Arrow as a lead. Like, he's been a reoccurring character on a couple other TV shows, but this was his main thing. So it was all Arrow questions. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of good insight into the show, where it's headed, stuff like that. Which, he dropped some pretty big hints, dude. Like,
speaking of which, did you hear the rumor mill?
The Nightwing, right? There's a lot of rumors floating around.
Well, that's what he said on stage too. If you could, I think the question was if you could have one other DC character in there, and he looks said, like
it might he said Ra's al Ghul.
No, he said
Nightwing.
No, he said if there was any other villain you'd like to see, who would it be? He said Ra's al
Ghul. Oh yeah, and the then he said, yeah,
if there's anybody else you'd like, besides Roy, who's essentially Speedy. Without ever, I mean, dresses in red and uses a bow, so it's fucking Speedy. He was hooked on drugs. Weird, Speedy. but he said he'd like to have Nightwing on there. Yesterday, some dude from Vampire Diaries was in the gym, and he had a workout shirt. It had a Nightwing logo on it, and he tweeted out to Kyle Higgins and a couple other people, you know, getting my Nightwing workout on. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. Which would be nuts. And Stephen Amell even said, if you like Batman villains, you'll really, really like season 3 of Arrow. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit. So, dropped a lot of hints about what's going on. And what's funny about him, the only person, because he hasn't done a whole lot, could actually reference specific episodes.
Yeah.
So, that was a good one, too.
And I'll admit that it's been mentioned here, I haven't seen any of Arrow. But watching... what's his name?
Manu Bennett
and Jason Atmel. Stephen Atmel. Really made me want to actually start watching the show.
Show's good.
And John Barrowman. That was Malcolm Merlyn.
Yeah, he's in it now. Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, you know, the main, they were there for Arrow. John Barrowman was just there to be John Barrowman.
Yeah. Still. Yeah, so, you know, it's an awesome show. If you watch it, you should watch it. Do it.
You seen Arrowmonger?
You already asked him that.
You asked me already.
It's like the fifth time.
Mike. No.
Have you seen it now?
Did you watch it yet?
Yeah,
like, because you disappeared clearly for the last 15 minutes. Were you catching up on Arrow?
I was watching it on Netflix. All
right.
I have it on mute so they don't hear the podcast. It's so goodish.
I have a panel question.
Oh.
Did anyone get owned this year?
No.
No. So we made a rule up, which I think scared everybody away from it, is said the first person to do it gets revenge on everybody else and it's going to downslide from there.
Should we explain what owned is?
Do we know? Have we mentioned it?
Probably mentioned it. Oh, it's basically... 2 years ago at Comic-Con when all three of us were there for the last time.
Fox out of order.
except for we're popular. we're not getting canceled. Not yet, at least. It's weird to think about.
I get a text tomorrow, we're canceled. But we do this.
But it's our thing.
But it's our thing.
Fox canceled you.
What?
Those motherfuckers. Who canceled us? Fox did. It was weird. They played us in order, and then they fired us. Mixing it up, fuckers. But no, so... 2 years ago at Comic-Con when Mike was actually there, Joe was there, I was there. We were waiting outside because we were going to watch some fan film stuff, and we were bored because there's no good panels except for the fan films because someone we knew from the comics, or someone, Ken told us about a Deadpool, no, not a Deadpool.
It's Captain America one.
Captain America one, fan fiction, or fan film, which was awful.
Yeah.
Every bit about it was awful. Anyways, it was going on, so we thought we'd check it out, plus there's a bunch of other ones. Two of them were good, I think. The Matrix one
was really cool.
There's one that was cool, too.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I do remember the Matrix one.
Yeah, Matrix was cool.
It was actually good. The
Sailor
CG.
Moon one was funny.
Yeah, it's just super inappropriate. Yeah. Anyway, so we're sitting there waiting, and I'm sitting in a chair. Mike's standing up, has the program for the Comic-Con, which is essentially a magazine, like a good 50 or 60-page magazine, rolled up and he's kind of bouncing back and forth, and Joe's just standing there reading his program. And all of a sudden, Mike's like doing this, like, I'm kind of going to act like I hit you from a distance, and then leans in to actually fake like he's doing it, but gets a little too close and snaps it right on Joe's junk. cripples Joe. All of us start laughing.
Mike goes down to the floor.
Yep, just we're tears laughing. Running out of his eyes.
The movie's end. Now everybody's coming out of the fucking...
Now we're like, there's three maniacs just fucking laughing in the hallway. We probably look like complete serial killers. All of us are crying. Joe's face is beet red. Mike's face is beet red. You can't tell what color my face is because of all the hair. Yeah. It was also beet red. Just crying like fucking weirdos. These people are coming out like staring. It's like, what the fuck's wrong with these guys? They're having a good time for no reason in the hallway. So then we coined the term Owened because he got
Owened. Which has happened many times since then.
Yeah.
But it's basically when you get hit in the nuts is kind of...
Yeah. But we kind of specify as like being...
Unintentionally hit in the nuts
by a close friend.
Accidentally on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that was what an owning is. So we made this rule after we got done doing or getting our badges. We said, hey, like.
If it starts,
it will go on forever.
It,
for all weekend. And it just got bad. So I'm pretty sure it scared everybody away from doing it.
You should have waited till like the last half hour.
Oh, that would have been dickish.
No, because we had to drive home in the same car.
Yeah. That's true.
And I guarantee one of us would have reached for
the back.
He was driving. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get hit in the nuts while
I'm
driving.
It was going to be a bad downward spiral for sure.
And we had, because like the year we went prior, we left the Comic-Con every day. This year we stayed at the Sheridan, just like a block away from the convention center.
The greatest idea I've ever had in my life.
So we were with each other the whole time. So especially the thought that if we started this, we all slept in the same room. So we really didn't want to open up those floodgates.
Middle of the night.
I would wake up. Mike would be like, I was like, wham, right in the fucking nuts. End of friendship. You know, that sort of thing. Because
I would have left right then. Yep. Like, fuck the rest of the con.
It's my car. Which sucks because he's the one that has the car. So.
Why you guys all walking funny?
Nothing.
Swollen balls.
It's okay. Yeah, so that was an owing. So we were terrified about that.
I meant to ask earlier. So yeah.
Way to be late on everything. So after Stephen Amell, we watched the Nathan Fillion one we talked about already with the watches and how awesome it was. And he was super funny. And, he's just enjoyable as like the stories he tells and stuff like that. But also like he's really humble about being famous and being like a nerd icon and stuff. But he has a fun time with it too. Like it's super awesome. And the fact that he like loves Bruce Campbell, he tells the story about like how he, now that they're friends after last year's Comic-Con, because they were actually almost like they were back to back in panels and they got to know each other and became like a little bromance, that he invites him over to parties at his house. And one time his friend's like, oh my God, you'll never believe who I just met. He goes, Bruce Campbell, how'd you know?
He's awesome. He's all, I know, right?
Yeah, so it was really fun. He's awesome. The watch thing was fucking hilarious. Just because at the third one, when I noticed he was wearing the watch, he was just like, no one's like, maybe one person saw him do it. No one really saw him do it. And all of a sudden, he has a watch on.
Everyone was watching. He did that one under the table.
Yeah, but he's nonchalant about it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Who's next?
That was it.
Was that it for a set? Then
we didn't go anywhere on Sunday. We didn't go to any panels on Sunday.
And so keep in mind,
we did pass by the Daniel.
Those are each an hour long with 30 minutes
with at least a 30 minute gap between them. So we were in that room.
Like seven
Saturday
hours.
Was a good long day, dude. Friday, a little bit less because we skipped the last one. But yeah, it was.
The last two. Well, technically, we didn't skip the last one because the last one was canceled because Leisha Dooku wasn't there.
That's right.
Yeah. Friday was also supposed to be the Power Ranger one, though, too, wasn't it?
Mm. But we got kicked out of
who cares?
We were going to leave anyway. We weren't going to stay no matter what. Brandon Darkins, Power Ranger.
Power molester? Are you kidding me?
Did you see that picture? Jesus. Does he listen to this? Does he?
I think he does. Actually.
Okay, Brandon, when you take a picture with somebody that you're excited to meet, which I totally get,
don't nestle him in your fucking bosom.
You grabbed Black Power Ranger so fucking tight, he looked uncomfortable, dude. Loosen up the embrace a little bit. Keep the hand loose around his shoulder.
You can't
and
grip
don't
his shoulder.
Fucking scare him, okay?
You can't grip his shoulder. He's never
going
to come back.
That is
to
a
Phoenix.
Little man. You are like a size of a gorilla compared to him. Do not fucking scare him, man.
Oh my God.
Was that. Not because he's black. They're both
borderline racist.
Not borderline racist.
Don't be like a gorilla calling a monkey. What is what Mike's trying to say?
But strictly from the size, that it's not good. Don't hurt Black Power Ranger next time you meet him. But congrats on meeting your hero.
Well, I mean, it's true. He was really excited to see.
He was really excited. Super stoked, dude. Yeah. And how much you had to pay? Like, he had to drop at least 100 bones right there because he got two things signed and a picture.
No,
right?
it's 30 bucks.
But signatures as well cost money. So.
No. No, you, yeah, no, this is different. If yeah, you go through the panel, cool. Each of them have.
No, read it. If you pay for a autograph slash photo, you get whatever you bring up signed.
But didn't he get like two things signed?
Yeah, you get he'll sign.
Oh, they'll go both.
You just can't do like a bunch of stuff. Like you can't walk up there with like a stack of books, and be like, excuse me, here, can you sign on my book, please? Yeah, so he got his Black Ranger helmet signed, and he got his Morpher signed.
And the battle axe.
It was the Morpher was his belt. Yeah, he had the helmet axe. And the axe, yeah. So it was pretty cool.
The picture is super inappropriate, though. Yeah. Like, just,
you can see the the terror kind of like behind the smile, you know? Like,
so I'm glad to meet my fans.
Am I going to make
what
it?
What has Black Power Ranger done since Power Rangers?
Power Rangers? I don't know. Someone else? Look it up. I don't care.
Infomercials?
How do you search for him, Black Power Ranger?
Fucking Power Rangers.
There honestly have been.
So and I'm not though. Saying no, he's the OG Black one. Power Ranger because he's black. His outfit was black.
No, I know. I get that.
Power Ranger! The Green Ranger wasn't there. Green Ranger's taken on this whole cult fucking
Tommy's
following.
Still in the show.
Did he go back?
He hasn't left.
What's really?
Yeah.
That's bad.
He even did that awesome fucking Scorpion versus Green Ranger video on the internets.
I don't think
or White
awesome.
Ranger. It's White Ranger.
Yeah, we're looking at the picture. See how tight he's close, like he's holding his shoulder?
That's a rape stance.
Like, don't do that.
I'm going against
you. And Darkens is like a head taller than him, and Black Power Ranger looks scared, for real.
let's see. List of
and Darkens is funny because he's holding the helmet. He got the axe sign. He's wearing a t-shirt and a hat and a belt buckle.
And it looks like he's holding the axe.
Zach Taylor. Yeah,
it looks like Black Power Ranger is about to decapitate.
Decapitate. let's see.
Actually, Zach sure, it's Taylor. Decapitated.
Oh, there he is.
Right. Whatever, motherfucker.
By
the last thing he
Walter Emmanuel Jones
is Man Without a Head. And then Mighty Med. This is literally 2014-2013. LA Live, the show. Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs 2.
Oh, good for him.
Who did he play?
He was the leak.
It just says additional voices.
Oh, wow. He's not even like a character.
He's taken off.
Speed Demon, Prime Suspect, Pair of Kings, Red Dead Redemption. He did the voice of local population.
Wow.
Random crowd people.
He was in The Shield?
Yeah, apparently he was in The Shield, too, which is one of my favorite shows.
Oh, he was in a small role in House of the Dead, too. Locker zombie. Cameo appearance in Fast and Furious 3.
CSI. Crime, like the actual CSI.
Yeah, I remember that
Street
one, yeah.
Racer.
Yeah. I wonder if in every character he plays, if he dances and fights at the same time.
Do you know he's a professional dancer?
he's doing the voices of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and he's just like, ah.
Because I remember that was his thing in the original. Like, he danced while he fought, which, like, looking back, seems racist now that
he's a professional dancer.
Yeah.
In real life.
No, I know, but it was like
did
why?
Did they actually cast for that, or did they just be like
hey, hey, oh, you can dance. Why don't you dance while you fight?
Yeah. Can you play bass too?
Oh. Was he Token? Oh, I guess he kind of was.
Hey, you didn't go to an Ivy League school, did you? We'll call you Twofer.
No, I went to ASU.
We're not talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so that was all the panels we went to. Then, like I said, the floor. Cody bought some shit. I bought some shit. Joe, did you buy anything?
I actually did not buy anything.
Yeah, you didn't buy anything. Cheap ass motherfucker. Yeah.
It's not that it was cheap. It's just that there was nothing there that really
there was
nothing
space involved, so I didn't want to buy anything.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, there's like I could buy comics at the comic book shop. I can buy
some of them though. Like, there's some good bargains though.
They're good bargains, but it's like nothing that like I really like. I absolutely have to find and read this. I know for the longest time I was looking for
Saga One.
No, not Saga One, but
now some cool guy got that
Arkham Arkham Asylum, A Serious House on Serious Earth. I was looking for the hardcover edition, which you cannot find anywhere. Until I did actually find it, and I was looking for it in years past at Phoenix Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, and then the first time we go to a shop here in Arizona, of course, All About Books and Comics, right there on the shelf, two copies of it.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Should have brought in your Horizons earlier.
6 years that I was looking for it, never saw it until I saw it there. So, but I mean, coming into here, yeah, I took some money with me in case I was like, you know, oh, this is absolutely awesome and I need to get it. But no, didn't.
My wish list going in, I just wanted some cool
Pussy and Blow.
Yeah, tons of Pussy and Blow.
Especially
mountains.
Cold because it was hot.
Yeah, mountains and mountains of icy Pussy and Blow. Cause it was really hot.
Isn't that considered corpses?
No. We fucking a refrigerator.
How about you quit touching other people's stuff?
Yeah, Munger. Some bitch.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But yeah, my list that I wanted, I just wanted to get some cool art prints. I wanted a turtle print. And I wanted to grab a couple comics. I ended up getting a couple ones, like some not like super rare stuff, but some cool stuff for a good price. But the art that I ended up like made me decide, because every area has art put up on their wall almost. And you have Artist Alley, obviously. But the one that made me say, okay, I'm getting my stuff from here was the Minions versus the Monsters, Inc. ones.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was pretty cool. So I bought all my prints from there, and some comics. Not a whole lot. Cody got some cool Side Nine and Happiness shit.
Yeah, Side Nine Happiness. If you don't know what it is awesome web comic. They print it, they make them into books now. So I got the two books I didn't have: Depressing Comic Book and the Punching Zoo,
which is not a clever name. That's just actually what it is.
Yeah, it's really depressing. And wouldn't you, it even warned you if you laugh at it, something's wrong with you. We laughed a lot at it, so that was pretty fun.
But felt horrible about laughing.
Yeah,
about
sure
it.
You did.
Yeah.
And then I got a drawing from, was it Matt that was there?
I honestly didn't see who was there.
Chris Wilson.
Chris Wilson
was the one here.
No, it wasn't Chris, was it?
Yeah.
That second shirt does not look like Chris's. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, it looks like a giant C.
Yeah, but Chris starts with a K.
Well, it looks like a K.
I don't know. I can't remember who it was. This is the third or fourth one I have one from them. But they do when you buy a certain amount of merch and drop your phone in front of everybody, you get a free sketch drawing. So I, of course, paid the most. So I get the bigger one. And then you get to pick three topics. I only had one that I wanted. It would include murder. So that was one of them. And then I got to pull two little topics out of the little topic piece. And I got dinosaurs and roadkill. So he drew a dinosaur driving a car that ran over a guy who ended up having a boner. There's another guy who's pointing at the dinosaur like, oh, and then another guy touching the boner with another boner.
Yeah. Really so lots funny. Of boners and death going on. So, and if you don't know what cyanide, bring up, like, stop the podcast real quick. Google image search it just so you have an idea. This is not super detailed artwork.
They're stick figures.
They're stick figures. So it looks funny. Like when we explain it, it sounds awful and horrible and really wrong, which it kind of is, but it doesn't look that bad. It just looks funny. So don't judge us too much for liking it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hilarious. I got that. I got a couple prints. I got one of their posters too. It says an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but medical equipment is really expensive, so have a hamburger.
Yeah.
It's
really
good
funny.
Stuff.
Yeah. Then I got a bunch of books. I got Revival number one, first print for $10. I got a signed copy of Black Science, the Image Expo variant. That was pretty cool. I got the Kick-Ass 2 Nemesis crossover covers that connect. I don't know if you saw that or not when you're looking at them, Eric. This one and this one. This is not good for audio podcasts. They link up. And they have the villain from Nemesis.
So it's issue number four of Nemesis, and then issue number...
It's a Lionel U variant, and they connect up, and then the Superior, who's on the guy getting deflected on the bullets, is on the cover of Kick-Ass 2, number 2. And then, so it's a cool joint cover. Got those two.
Sorry, I didn't pay attention to that.
I got Satellite Sam, number 1, which is an awesome book that I'm meaning to get him one of. I found, Joe found for me, Fables Special Edition number 1, which is easily an $80 to $100 book. Got it for $1.50.
I saw that online though. I looked it up. It I've seen it only for $1.50. eBay has it going for like $1.50.
There's a bunch, So I was looking it up before I was looking for it. The special edition was harder to find than the other ones. I wish I wanted. Obviously, I really want the regular number 1, which would be a goddamn fortune right now. But so, but that was, so I was super excited about that. So I have that on there. I got
Fear Agent Volume 1 and 2 signed
by Tony Moore. That was
they look
cool.
like the Absolute versions of big, yeah, thick, big hardcovers.
But the cool thing about those is they were literally half the price of Absolutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Instead of 100, they were both 50.
Good
so
buys.
That's a
good
lot
buys.
Of comic for your buck there.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Got a couple prints. I got the James, I'm going to mess your last name up. Not Duong. I can't remember. James, you're awesome. I got his.
This shit is super legit.
Yeah.
I got a Voltron one and a Joker one from him to go along with my Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow one I have from him as well. And then I bought Ryan Wynn. I got the Batman, Robin. Well, it should be Damian as Robin and Dick Grayson as Batman one in his style, kind of like his book that is coming out, Shotgun and Driver. Got those ones. And then I got the Spider-Man fighting Green Goblin sketch they did too.
That one's really good because the Goblin was gnarly in it. His stuff was awesome too. I picked up his books too and got them signed, Rise and Death Betty.
Yep.
Which are fantastic. They're really, really good. And those guys are super cool too.
Yeah. So. Adam and Ryan. So they're pretty cool. I'll see them next month at San Diego Comic Con. So that's about it.
Yeah.
I think that's all I bought.
So wrap up. Oh, and we also went and saw Education Live.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Kevin Smith.
With Kev Smith and Andy McElfresh.
With a guest appearance
not
of
a real
Jason Mewes.
Jason Mewes.
So it was pretty fun.
Yeah, they had Mewes rub garlic on a guy's feet. So if you don't know what Edumacation is, I'm not going to tell you because I'm going to let you just think that that's a normal thing that happens at shows.
I'd imagine it is. I mean, it's Kevin
probably
Smith.
With Jason Mewes. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that you got the first shout out of the because they read through the tweets.
Garbage.
At the front. Yeah.
Just kidding. It was actually really funny. And then they made fun of him, Mike, because he was so enthusiastic, saying, woo, I'm over here. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think at first it was just Michael Owens. Is a Michael, and we're just sitting there going, is he talking about
I was super.
Mike?
I was like, yeah. And the Mike's
like, is there another Michael Owens out there? No? Okay.
Well, it was me then.
Mike.
Yeah, so it was pretty fun.
Super excited about Kevin Smith and Andy. Hope you guys don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. Don't fuck it up.
They
buddy.
Did. It was funny. It was a lot of fun. Awesome. Stand Up Live is a pretty cool venue too. That's the first time I was there. I just didn't like the fact that we were sitting in seats.
Well, the problem with I don't.
If it was a stand up, it would have been a little bit different.
Because he's walking around. Instead, we were mostly looking at the back to side of the.
Yeah, I mean, because we were off on the side of the stage. But if it was a regular stand up comedian, he'd be walking around looking at all of us.
Right. That's what
that's
what he's saying. And I know the last time that I was there, we got to sit at the actual tables, which was head on. So we were.
Yeah. But it was a good venue though. I like it. Yeah, it's the first time I've been there. I've been to improv a bunch, but I haven't been there. But it was fun.
Yeah, I like that place. So yeah, it was fun. Good times. The poor kids in front of us in line had to fucking listen to Captain Stoner.
Oh God, that guy.
What a fucking douche. Makes me not want to have a podcast on my own.
We'll save that for a whole another podcast.
Yeah. But I don't know what that motion that Joe just did. Looked like he was trying to hang himself. Don't reach up too high. That fan is right fucking there.
Chop your goddamn hand off. Hey, Munger.
We're fine.
Your final thoughts on Comic-Con?
It was good.
Good. Awesome. Thanks for joining us on this episode.
Make sure you promote this one heavily.
Thanks for having me.
Hey,
your family's really going to want to hear this one.
Look at it. Listen to him talk. Oh, it's amazing. He's opening up like a madman. We're learning secrets.
Where I can.
So once.
You brought up the nut shots, which was important.
The owning the next big horror franchise.
I was curious.
The owning too.
It's a found footage
harder.
Film.
Oh, trust me,
it's a found footage film.
That was the first
film.
Thing I heard about from last year's. It was
because it's traumatizing. Not last year's, year before.
It
was traumatizing. It. Oh, it's traumatizing. Yeah. It's a good nut story to give to everybody. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, who doesn't enjoy a good nut story?
Nut stories, dick and fart jokes, yo,
and boners,
and boners,
boners.
Ooh, just hope you don't get the nut shot with the boner, because that could hurt.
That could cause a stinger.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. But it broke my dick.
It's so tingly.
Curves are left now.
Gross. All right, so.
Maybe it'll straighten some people out.
Are we in Australia?
Hit it towards the right. I dwest to the left, extreme left, my hip. So that's it for this episode of Comes Naturally, I guess.
Comic-Con
so.
Special.
Comic-Con. We were planning on recording from... from our hotel room after every night. We're just too damn tired most of the time.
Yeah.
Because obviously the heat just fucking you know, walking around the floor, the fucking heat was just awful.
You had the mile tracker thing on your watch, and then we like averaged around like 4 or 5 miles a day just walking.
Yeah, we did.
So
and that, mind you, that we sat half.
Yeah,
the day,
mind you, half the day we sat in the fucking room. Yeah, ridiculous.
So
we worked. Tired. We worked that floor like a bitch. So yeah, it was fun. I look forward to it.
Ate a tilted kilt.
Yep, right in front of Chipotle. The fucking projector.
Boca Pizza, which was really good. Corner Bakery, really good as well.
Corner Bakery had some bomb ass sandwiches.
Yeah, and the pretzel bed was bomb. I had the pretzel bread sandwich. Fucking, it was the long roll. So good in there with the salt. Oh, delicious.
You ever had food, Munger?
No, I missed out on that too.
Yep, yeah. Suck at life. So yeah, I guess that's it. Say goodbye for this episode.
Bye.
Oh God, we comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I'm Cody. Our special guest, even though he didn't talk a whole lot, was
Eric.
All right.
He's so excited.
Oh my
God. He just can't hide it. He's doing a pretty good job, actually.
He's gonna lose control. I think I like it.
I like it.
Gross. All right, so that's it. We're out.
All right,
we'll talk at you the next time.
Peace.
Bye.